broadcasting worldwide online 24/7.
It's Vuga Online, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome to the Hope Makers Show. This is another week and another story of hope, and there is a lot of noise that's happening behind me. So I'm going to take a quick break and then we will come back and I'm going to get rid of that noise. So wait right there. I'll be back. I have a new solar implementation thingamajig. And I'm working from my kitchen. So in their wisdom, the electricians installed it in the kitchen because they said it doesn't make noise. And for some reason, when I'm waving my hands, it starts making some sound. So as I was starting the show with you, it was making a sound. This is Percy Miles that I'm speaking to. Welcome back to the Hope Makers Show. And it's another week. It's another leader. It's another conversation about hope. We are driving a movement. Guys, you have no idea how excited I am about this. I mean, the conversation we've had, the conversations I've had so far, I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm interested to hear some of your stories as well in terms of what are you learning from this. Go and visit the Westwood page. And we will be having a hashtag Hope Makers. Actually, let's just start it. Hashtag Hope Makers everywhere. And let's have a conversation about hope. Share some of your stories about hope and tag me and tag at Westwood International. But also check Vuga Online, tag Vuga Online Radio. Let's do something different. You've already been hearing some of the stuff. But what I have today, Betsy, I am so, so excited. That when I saw your name on the roster, I was like, because I so enjoyed your story at our session the other day. I can't even remember when did we do this in October.
Yeah.
I was listening to that and I was like so inspired to actually do a whole lot more about this work that we're trying to do, which I don't know what it is, but I feel that we're trying to create an opposite and equal force to what's happening right now in the world, where there is ructions everywhere, there's war, there's poverty and all of those things. And we are saying, is there hope? And maybe I should start there with you in this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Let me just kick it off there and then we'll come back. I'm not structuring this thing. We are having a chat.
Mm-hmm.
I've just described a particular perspective of the world. And it probably is only happening, not happening only on my side of the world, being in South Africa, because I can see the stuff that's happening all over. But what is it like in your part of the world? What's happening in the world right now for you?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, the personal stuff that's in our everyday, you know, I always call it the pothole theory, because the pothole theory is that one of the U.S. senators said, you know, at the end of the day, our job is what our constituents may care about the world and community issues, but at the end of the day, fix the pothole in front of my house, right? So we all have like what's going on in our own lives that we're dealing with day to day, and then what does that mean for the community and for the bigger world? So I think unless you're, you know, nobody can deny that we're all watching this Ukraine-Russia conflict with just, it's just heartbreaking. And I've been just absolutely stunned that Putin in his masculine, you know, old model of leadership, using force, you know, and I think how are we still in this modality of leadership in 2022, right? It's like, why are we still fighting with tanks and weapons and killing? So that's very distressing, I think, for those of us in the leadership field, you know, who are proselytizing and believing in a new kind of leadership model, which is about heart and love and care.
Ah, and it's fascinating. I mean, I had a session with a number of coaches for a multinational. So I usually do these supervision sessions where I kind of just contain them to make sure that they are fine and all, and everything. One of the things that emerged from that conversation was around how, in terms of where the world is, while it might feel like there's a lot of drama, a lot of, like almost falling apart, if you're looking at it in small pieces of consciousness, it feels like the world is falling apart. But listening to their conversation in a more integrated way, with listening to the conversations of the clients of the multinationals, listening to their own stories as coaches or who are doing this, I'm realizing something, that we are going through a shift of consciousness. But the way it's going, it's not linear at all. And as a result, it can be quite frustrating, because then it feels like COVID is coming to an end, and then something else comes up, and then there's war. But in Africa, we've been living with war forever. I mean, one of the things I shared was that if you look in different parts of the continent right now, there is something happening in the Sudan, there's something happening in Libya. It's just where one chooses to focus and direct their attention. And then, of course, the Putin Ukraine issue is taking over a lot of other attention. But what I'm also aware of is that continuously we have this forward movement. And what you just said now about this leadership style that's very masculine, that's very bullyish, it's probably a kick of a dying horse, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. And that, which is why it's so interesting when in the United States, where we had a president, you know, Donald Trump, that was also very head scratching, right? Because, but I think what you're saying is that, yeah, there are still leaders who show up with fear and scarcity and bullying and all that. And so there's a certain, that the human being is, can sometimes, there's a part of people go, I'm going to go towards that because I feel fear. But, you know, when you think about life, we make decisions on fear or love. And so there are leaders that are moving in the love direction, which I'm seeing in my corporate work. I do a lot of work with banks, insurance companies, accounting firms. And what they're seeing is, you know, that's been traditionally, I call masculine transactional kind of leadership. Yeah. What they're finding is that the modern worker, the millennial generation, which now in 2022, the oldest is turning 42. So this is they are managing, leading, you know, they are making major impact. And, you know, this generation has shaken up the workplace, because what companies are realizing is that millennials want to work in a place of purpose, and they want to have freedom to run their, you know, flexibility to run their personal lives and their work lives. They want to feel cared about. They want to know what their trajectory is in the company. And so any, you know, banks, one of my big clients is Barclays Bank out of London. And, you know, they're moving towards, wow, you know, we're moving towards a culture where the heart and caring for people and empathy is actually a important part of our culture. Because if you look at the reality, which is, wow, how do we keep a workforce if we're competing with other banks? Right, and all that. So how do we, what makes us different? You know, and I always say to companies, why not be the place where people can, yes, make a living, but also be their best and brightest selves and make a difference in the world, right? So banks and companies, not just banks, but companies that are getting this are shifting, you know, and sometimes they come along to it because of necessity, right? They look at their numbers and they say, my God, we have unbelievable, you know, lack of retention, lack of engagement of our people. So maybe we need to do things differently, right? And you're seeing things like the Great Resignation. You know, you're seeing, you know, articles in the New York Times front page of the business section in January saying, you know, no more jerks in the workplace. Yeah. So you're seeing this change, and leaders who are on the forefront are saying, wait a minute, that's old model of leadership doesn't work anymore. And so we need to think about how we show up, how we train our managers and leaders, how we hold them accountable, right? Not just accountable for the numbers that you bring in or the clients that you bring in, but how you care for your people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of sitting in a space where I'm excited and concerned at the same time. And we'll talk a little bit about this because I think that's the feeling. It's almost like we're going 2 steps forward and then 10 steps back. But overall, it looks like we are moving forward. And there's a bit of hope there. But I wanna check with you. Is the hope, will we get to a space where we're feeling like we are making giant leaps forward in terms of leadership? But we need to take a break. By the way, where are my manners? I am with Betsy Myers, a leadership expert, author, and consultant. Just in case you're going, who are you talking about? You didn't even introduce. I'll let her introduce herself when we come back. She's the author of Take the Lead, Motivate, Inspire, and Bring Out the Best in Yourself and Everyone Around You, and which continues to be the basis of her work in corporates, in politics, in the political systems, as well as higher education. Like, this woman's CV is like a whole page. But we will get through it. By the time we finish, you will know who she is. But for now, we need to take a break. And then when we come back, we continue the conversation with Betsy Myers as we get to talk about hope and hope making and how do we bring hope to the world. But for now, let's take a break.
You're listening to VUCA Online.
You are rocking with the best.
Yay! Leaders, people, children, mothers, brothers, sisters, welcome back to the Hope Makers Show. One of the shows that I'm like so excited to actually be able to be involved with, because it already kind of gives me hope, right? Connect with us at VUCA Online Radio everywhere, or otherwise at Mongezi Sima Kalima everywhere. And then Betsy, I think they can get you on LinkedIn. I think
most yes. of Yes, absolutely.
And Betsy is spelled, Betsy Myers is spelled M-Y-E-R-S. And that's where you find it. Just in case you're going, ooh, that sounds interesting already. I want to connect with her and I want to continue this conversation. Let's build that movement of hope. So let's go right back to the beginning, because I kind of like just jumped into you about where this is. For people who are listening, what do you want them to know about Betsy Myers?
Well, that's an interesting question, right? I guess my work is my passion, is my life's work, really, has been my interest in leadership, why people do what they do. You know, from the time I was so little, I used to watch, you know, things like my friend's parents, and I was like, why would we go down to one family and we loved the dad or didn't love the dad, or were afraid of the dad or the mom? Or and I remember my fifth grade teacher, his name was Hugh Beaton, and I just, there was something about him. He made me feel that I mattered and I wanted to work harder, jump higher, you know. And so I started to really be interested in leadership. And my father also was an executive at an aircraft company called Lockheed. And so he was very interested in leadership. So I started to kind of, wow, this is fascinating. But it was more from the place of why people do what they do and what makes us want to be around that person, right? And then I had an expertise in women's leadership, because that was the other thing, was kind of this interest in women. And, you know, my mother went back to school when I was a teenager. She had left college to marry my father very young at 19. Went back when we were, there's three girls in my family, and she went back and finished her degree and got her master's in psychology and started teaching women's reentry programs at a local college. And so I would hear her stories about women triumphing over difficult, going back to school. You know, I remember one story where a young woman, her husband left her penniless with three daughters, and she went back to school and pulled herself up. And, you know, and I, so those stories fascinated me, and that took me in the direction of, you know, I think both from my watching my mother change her role in the family from stay-at-home mom to this vibrant career to this, what, you know, the plight of women and our our advancement and why were women lagging behind men, and also very interested in women's confidence and self-esteem and worthiness. And so these are things that's driven me, and over my years, it's taken me, you know, into academia, politics, business. So I kind of have a, you know, across the sectors kind of background. So it's very eclectic. But at the end of the day, I think it's just my passion to make the world a better place. And if I can have anything to do with leaders starting to show up in a way that is brings care and concern and empathy, that's kind of my mission and why I kind of wanted to be part of the Hope Makers community.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. And I find when I have conversations with people like you, people like you, maybe I'm including myself in it, because after I listened to you and your conversation early this year, it was quite fascinating for me. When did we have this? Was it in December? I can't even remember.
Yeah, the fall, I think. Last fall, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I one of the other things I do on the station is I have a show every Monday where we kind of focus on leadership and just humanize leadership. So I do on Monday I talk about leadership, on Tuesday I talk about hope, and then on Friday I do jazz. So I kind of feeling like Tyler Perry right now. But those are the things that I'm very lucky to be able to be passionate about. But when I think then about the stuff that you just described, it brings a question to me. Why does it matter? Why don't you just wake up, go to work like normal people? I don't know what normal people are. And then just go back, sit down, have tea, and start the day again the following day.
You know, I think because in our humanness, we all come to this planet with our soul. We all have a soul mission. And, you know, I think if that's it, our life is just going to work, coming home, eating, sleeping, watching TV, then our best and brightest selves, our soul's mission, our gift to the world is never realized, right? So I think that's really what, why it matters, you know, why it matters to what's your contribution, right? I always say, like, when you're at the end of your life and you're laying on your deathbed and you look back and you say, what did I make any difference in the world? Did I touch, you know, even at one or two lives, you know, and why did it matter that I crossed this world for no matter whatever the years are that I'm gifted to have, right?
Yeah.
So unrealized soul mission is sad, you know? And I think there's a lot of people who never unwrap their gift, their package, right, that they're sent down here with. They never unwrap it because they're so tied up in the human aspects that, you know, of life. And yes, I mean, I don't think there's a person on this planet that doesn't have trials and tribulations and betrayals and sadnesses. But I think we have to look at the gifts that we have to be on this planet during this time. And there's always, no matter what happens to us, there's always goodness that can come from it. There's always lessons that can come from it, right? And so I think that's part of our journey too, is to whatever's happened to us, how do we take that and then help other people who are going through the same thing?
Yes.
To share your wisdom, to share your fortitude, to share your heart, to share your hope.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, it's interesting. A friend of mine who lost their brother to suicide told me once, and it's always stayed with me, that he lost hope. That he lost every ounce of hope left in his being. So I think that's what's so important about hope, is that even on those days when you think, oh my God, I can't do this anymore, you have that glimmer of hope, that glimmer of sunshine, right? That can keep you going and get you to the next day, next month, next year.
I'm glad you actually brought that up. I mean, recently or now in this part of the world, we've been experiencing a big spate of mostly men who are committing suicide, and I mean, COVID and all of the other conditions that we spoke about at the beginning of the show, it seems that they seem to be weighing quite heavily on the people. So when somebody gets to that level of hopelessness, I continue to wonder where you feel you have to take your own life. But maybe let me ask an opposite question. For somebody like that, where does hope come from?
Yeah, what is that part of us, that hope that tomorrow will be better, tomorrow will be brighter, and maybe I can show up in a way, make somebody else's life brighter? That's where the love, that's where the real hope comes in, right? It's like, I think what happens when we get so focused on our own pain, I think what helps alleviate pain is to reach out to others and bring community on topics, you know, that have been painful for you in your life. And, you know, I recently here in Boston, I went through a painful divorce 6 years ago. And it really was the opportunity, painful as it was. It was an opportunity to look at my own part of it and my own healing around when a relationship ends, and particularly when you'd hoped it'd go the distance. And you have children together, right? But what came out of that was, for me, a lot of personal learning myself and understanding my role in what happened. But then I put together a group of women in my neighborhood, in Boston, that had also gone through divorces or were going through divorces. And we call each other the posse. And it's grown now to about 10 or 11 women now that have supported each other in those moments when, oh my God, this is so hard. I don't think I can get through this. What do I do? How do I handle this? And that, we call it the posse, right? And so it's been one of those things of like, wow, how can we, and no matter what happens, the loss of a child, the death of a spouse, what, you know, the loss of a job, how do we support each other in, because there's a lot better to go to share, oh, that happened to me. No, that's exactly how I felt. It'll get better, right? So all of that, how we build community around each other, I think that's what's happening in our world, is that the phone and the computers, and that we've gotten so isolated and distant, even though we all live in a neighborhood or a community, right? It's like, but yeah, we've had more loneliness than ever. And so how do we start building community with each other, right?
Yes. And you just spoke like an African there, because the whole conversation about depression, about mental health, about suicide is continuously fascinating, because we kind of have to shift the lens with which we use to look at it. And there are questions that get asked. Do we even have a word for depression? In Africa, there's about 2,500 languages, right, in the whole continent. And you find that it would be a fascinating study to check what is the definition of depression in all of those. But the opposite of it would be what's the word for hope in each of those 2,500 languages. But taking it back, I think the thing that you're bringing up right now is the whole idea around community, and how that's essentially how it has worked, where you gather around each other so that you don't actually even have time to be by yourself and mope, and not that depression is about moping, but I have seen it. I mean, 2020, when it came, and I, fortunate I have tools as a therapist, as a coach, and all of that. So I kind of have tools, so I could separate myself from the thoughts, the dark thoughts, and all of that. And I go like, I can see you. You're not coming here. But many people just don't have that, and the isolation you're talking about is probably a space where people then get to hide, and when they hide, this dark shadow comes in and shows up.
Right, and the more you hide, the harder it is to get out, right? So that's where you, so I think it's like when you're in that space of loneliness, darkness, that if you can muster an ounce of hope to reach out to other people, right? And to say, I need help, and build community as best you can. It's hard when you're in that dark space because you don't have the energy often, right? And so,
it can be quite debilitating, right?
Very. But you know what? You know, have you ever been in that place where you're really sad or whatever, and then you reach out to somebody and say, will you have coffee with me? And you go out, you have one coffee date with someone, right? And it's just getting out and having that, hey, you know, this is how I'm feeling. How did you handle this? Or someone reaching out to someone who had something similar happen to them, right? And how did you handle it? And can we build community here? So sometimes it takes some effort, right, to reach out, but it's the greatest thing you can ever do is to build, if you don't have the community, build that community. And that's the thing, you know, for single people, because when you're used to having a family around you, you know, I had that experience myself because my family lives all over the country. My daughter's in college now. I'm a single person at this point in my life. And so what you have to do is you have to actually think about, okay, this weekend's coming up. I need to reach out if I want to have dinner or coffee and make the effort. A lot of times we're not used to that, right? We're waiting for it to come to us. But in making the effort to go for a walk, to meet for coffee, to invite people to your home for dinner, you know, all of a sudden you start to build your community, and the energy begets energy, right? That's the thing. Energy gets energy, and we have to take responsibility for our lives. And I call it drive our own cars. You know, we keep so many, I think oftentimes when we don't reach our highest potential in life, because we're waiting for someone else to do it for us. And part of the leadership, I talk about this a lot in my work, is leader of self. You know, some people don't think they're a leader, right? I would say, do you think you're a leader? And people say, no. I'm like, but you're leading your own life, right? So take responsibility for wherever you are today, and knowing that the sadness I have today about my divorce, or I lost my job, or I'm feeling, you know, pain in my arm, whatever it is, right? Yeah. That's not going to last forever. So I just lost my parent, or whatever it is, like that pain, sometimes we'll never get over that pain, but we tuck it away in a way, and we move forward in our life to teach others, to have conversation, to engage in the humanity of life, right? Which is others.
I'm tempted to follow this train of thought, but I'm going to pause because we've been speaking for a long time. We need to take some music. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble. And then when we come back, we start wrapping up. It's amazing how short the time can be. You think you're like...
So true.
More music, more inspiration. And you are on Vogue Online Radio, and we are doing the Hope Maker Show, sponsored by Westwood International, and we are trying to drive a movement. Right, we are not trying; we are actually doing it, bringing a movement of hope across the world with, you know, Newton's—I don't know what law it was—an equal and opposite, an equal and opposite force. That's kind of what we are trying to create. But for now, let's take some music. We'll be back after this.
Broadcasting worldwide online 24/7.
It's Vuga Online, your inspiration radio station.
Whew. Hey guys, what's happening with you? Are you listening? What are some of the things that you're hearing from this conversation? One thing, Betsy, that kind of rang, and I kind of was tempted to follow, but I had to hold myself. And this is exactly the example of it, is the whole idea about self-talk. When you talk about the leader of self, I think part of the most simple thing that one can do is take control of self-talk.
Yes.
The stories we tell ourselves are the stories that get us in so much trouble. What stories are you telling yourself in this instance? What do you think when I say that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the most important things that people have to be aware of, that voice in our head that tells us, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy. We define ourselves on how someone else has, you know, whatever their thoughts about us are, which come from their own stuff, right? And so I call it the bad girlfriend in your head that we give room to, right? We rent a room to that person. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get triggered something happened, or that smells like, that reminds me of, and you go down this whole road, right? If I'm, you know, whatever it is, I'm not good enough. Oh, that's my fault. I wish I, you know, and men and women do it a little bit differently. So not, you know, that's a, you know, a big overarching, but I think you have to, one of the things I've learned in my own healing work is that part of healing is discipline, because you have to catch yourself when you know, okay, I'm going down this bad, you know, I'm ruminating, okay, ruminating on these thoughts. And, you know, is this, and you have to stop yourself and say, wait a minute, I'm having these thoughts. Does this take me to my best self or away from my best self? Right. And you know, oh, away from my best self. Okay. So then you stop yourself and you say delete, and you move towards a meditation, calling a friend, going for a yoga class, walking your dog. Even if you in the middle of your workday and you can stop and just meditate for 3 minutes, you know, where you ask, you know, your higher power to intervene, support you, guide you. But it's the discipline. And I've learned that, because I could go through hours of rumination like everybody else.
Yeah.
Really, when I was going through my divorce and I was just so heartbroken and I was, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, all those things that we do, right? And then you'd stop yourself and say, wait a minute, no, what's the lesson here? How can I, you know, what's the goodness that's going to come out of this? What am I going to learn from this? Right. And so it's, I just think that that's the thing, discipline of moving towards thoughts and behaviors that bring your worthy self to your worthy self. Right. So, and being conscious about it, because it's like a choice. It's a choice, you know, and we're not victims to our thoughts. I mean, we are if we let them be, but how do you take the lead of you and say, no, 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 I'm going to start visualizing a different way of being. I'm going to visualize my dreams. I'm going to visualize and then take actions towards that, and just, you know, try to push that bad friend. You know, we wouldn't allow a friend in our life, right? That was constantly saying, you're no good. See, this happened to you again, you know, all that stuff. You'd say, I'm not going to be friends with you. So we have to bring friends into our thoughts that help us be our happiest and best self. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It's discipline.
I want to tap into your the other aspect of your of your life here, and shifting this conversation a little bit, because you're an expert at public leadership, if I would put it that way. Right, having worked within the Clinton administration and Obama, moving into the Obama administration, and I'm wondering, when you look at that, and I think one of the conversations we've had, Greg and some of the other people was around, and here, I mean, one of the conversations I found myself having was, is there anyone within the G7? That inspires you now as a leader? So maybe let me start that question there first and then go to my second question. Is there anyone that's inspiring you right now within the G7?
Well, I was inspired by Angela Merkel, but now she stepped down. So I don't have as much of a perspective on the new German leader, but I thought Angela Merkel was a really interesting long-term woman who integrated her head and heart. And so she was a really fascinating leader, and how she handled COVID. And we did see during the COVID times, you know, the women leaders across the globe. Another woman leader was Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand. Yes. Amazing young woman, early 40s woman who, you know, who led in this really head and heart way. So, so that's really what I look for in leaders now, is, you know, kind of who's showing up in that brings both the head, you know, the details, the structure, the focus, the strategy with the heart. And you saw a lot of that with the COVID. I mean, you really did. I think, you know, Joe Biden is another leader who, you know, obviously we're in a time where every leader gets blamed for everything. And so I think Joe Biden, like right now in this world of inflation and gas prices and COVID, and it was, you know, he's getting a lot of pushback, but he is an example of a leader. I believe I've known of him and seen him in action for 30 years as a really incredible leader that brings both the head and the heart. So it's not easy to lead these days. You know, this is a very hard time in our world to lead because the fake news is a huge, huge problem. Yeah. And so I have had friends call me and say things, educated, successful friends of mine. Okay. And I'll give you one example. A friend called me and said, oh, did you see Joe Biden had given a talk on New Year's Day? And she said, did you see that he said Happy Mother's Day instead of Happy New Year? And she said, he's you know, senile. I said, that is fake news. That did not happen. Right. And so people, even educated people. So I really think leaders today, how it's just like what Putin's been trying to do, right? Which is all this misinformation about what Ukrainians are doing to their people. And so people start believing all this stuff. And that's the hard part of leadership today. I know that's off from what your question was about, do I admire anyone from the G7? So we've gone off down a tangent. So I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah, but I like that, because let me redirect it then. Because I kind of goes back to the song that I really love. So I kind of will just tell you what the world needs right now is ..
love. Yeah, and love encompasses many things, right? Love is care, love is empathy, love is reaching out to people, love is saying you matter to me, love is including, right? Love is embracing different colors, different cultures, different sexuality with love and curiosity and wonder instead of judgment.
It's fascinating about love, isn't it? Especially when you talk about it in the context of leadership, because people kind of equate it to this a personal intimacy. But my hypothesis is, as a leader, let's take it back to the G7. If I love my country and I'm Olaf, I absolutely will be unconditional in putting my head on the block for my country. That's how much I would be loving it. Is that your definition of love?
Well, you're seeing that a lot in Ukraine. You're seeing people that have made decisions over there, you know, just heartbreaking. And, you know, it's a beautiful sign of their love, right, for the country, that they would rather blow themselves up and keep the Russians off the bridge, right? I mean, those are sacrifices, right? And I think we all have, you know, different bandwidths for what love is and what you're willing to do. But I think love is about others. You know, first you have to love yourself, because you can't love others unless you love yourself. And that's the hardest part, right? The journey of our life is loving ourselves, caring for ourselves, believing that we're worthy, doing the work. You know, it's hard work to understand your family of origin or habits you're doing or patterns that you're doing that aren't your best self, that aren't your worthiest self, right? So you have to learn to love yourself and understand yourself before you can love others. And then loving others is giving of yourself, is being open to vulnerability and sharing what you need, sharing what you see, asking for what you need, seeing what others need and stepping in. And it's tricky. There's no perfect formula, and life is messy and love is messy. And we get hurt and triggered. But if you keep showing up with love and boundaries, because I think love also, part of love is boundaries. Part of love is clarity. You know, you can't just be a doormat and say, well, it's just coming from love. You know, I used to think that was part of my journey was, oh, just kindness, love, keep forgiving. I was a pathological forgiver. Yeah. And so you keep forgiving at the same situation. And so sometimes you have to say, wait a minute, part of myself, part of loving you is loving me. And part of loving me is saying, here's my non-negotiables. Here's a boundary, right? So part of love is loving yourself, is knowing what you're worth, setting boundaries, not putting yourself in harm, right? Yes. You can sometimes...
That's self-love, right?
Because, because sometimes...
That's self-love.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to love from afar, right? Yes. And so that's love
yourself,
too.
Protect your energy,
Yes, so that's a really important... All of this, and listen, it's messy. you know? I mean, I've just been on a 6-year complete journey on healing and my understanding myself after all these years in the leadership field. Because we never stop learning, we never stop seeking. I think if as we grow and right, and to as and you always think, you know, I used to think, wow, I'd have it all figured out by 30, you know, and then you're like, you realize, you know, all of a sudden you're 60 and you're like, oh my God, like I'm still figuring out what's this last chapter of my life and what are the gifts I'm going to be giving and where do I want to spend my time and not spend my time and what matters. Yeah. So we all, I think we have to live consciously as best we can, as best we can.
You know what we call it here? We call it a scam. We say life is a scam. You never really get what you thought you are supposed to get. You get what you will get, and what you will get, you work with.
And yes,
because that's essentially what you are here for. But you know what's powerful about this? We need to take a last break, and when we come back, I'm asking you think about a little bit about a challenge that you want to give to the listeners. As we wrap up, what would be that one challenge? So just keep it at the back of your mind. But before we go to the break, I think there's something there in terms of what you're talking about now, that says if you are listening to this thing now, when you're listening to this thing and you feel like your life is messy, you feel like nothing looks like what you planned, you feel like this whole world is a mess, you know what? Actually, welcome to the club. You are fine.
Well,
what you need to be doing is then, it's not lying out there. Whatever it is that you thinking the answer is, it's not lying outside of yourself. That's what I'm hearing as a summary of almost everything we've been saying up until now. Is go back inside, you're fine. Just find something now within that helps you navigate this nonsense.
Have you heard the term, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you?
Yeah.
I love that, right? So everything that happens is like, how did this happen for me? It didn't happen to me, I'm not a victim. How did it happen for me? And what am I supposed to learn from this? So,
Dr. John DeMartini, I love him, he puts it very nicely. He says, is it, when something is happening, is it in your way? Or is it in the way or on the way?
It's a major
difference.
Yes.
Major difference. But we need to take a break. And then when we come back, we're wrapping it up with Betsy Mass. This conversation can go on forever, but she doesn't have forever. She's a very important person. We'll be back after this.
Broadcasting worldwide, online, 24/7.
It's VUGA Online, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome back to the Hope Makers Show. I almost said Leadership Mondays, but that's same conversation, different perspective or different vantage point where we are. Betsy, let's start wrapping up. So I'm hearing everything you say, right? So in summary, if you listening to all of this and somebody were to say, you've gone through all of this, you've done everything you've done, what is the one lesson you've learned about leadership, about humanity, about hope that you want to share?
Risk, the willing to take bold moves and take risks. I think that's the biggest thing about life, really, and hope is that I'm going to take this risk to reach out to someone I don't know, or to try something different, or to forgive someone, or to, you know, come up with this dream I've had to write this book, or this, do a documentary, or just move, you know, move to a different place in the world because I need a new view. Whatever that is in your heart, have a child, whatever it is that that's calling you, that the risk to do it, even when you feel afraid, you know. And Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, I love one of her quotes that I love is that do the thing you fear most, because that's your lesson. Yeah. Right. And so I think for all of us that have dreams that are afraid, that, you know, it's easier to stay in the comfort, but to take that risk. And I've been a big risk taker in my life, and I've walked away from comfy jobs you know, I left Harvard. I had a great job. I was running a center for leadership at the Kennedy School at Harvard, and I left to go work for Barack Obama, who was at that time, you know, unknown and nobody thought he could win. And I gave up my cushy, comfy academic job to go work for this senator and make a lot less money and live, you know, crazy lifestyle, you know, all that stuff, right? And then that job, I was the COO of his presidential campaign and one of his, and then I did a lot of speaking on the campaign as one of his surrogates. And that led me to my book deal, you know, and that wouldn't have happened had I not. So each thing, right, is a risk, and not everything works out perfectly, but that you thought it would, but the relationships that you build and the experience you make and, you know, the risk that I took from leaving my comfy job to go to a campaign led me to my book deal and my ability, the gift to be able to think about my thoughts about leadership and then have it in a book has then provided the next decade of my work, right? And so each thing leads you to each thing. And sometimes it works out. And listen, I've had my share of disappointments. I've been fired. I've gotten in tangles with people. It's life. And so someone might look at my resume and go, wow, she's just flowed so easily. No, not so much. I had my share of, like everyone else, skin knees, mistakes. Oh, how wish I would have done that differently, right? And, but that's the jigsaw puzzle of our life, right? Is like, oh, all these different pieces. And wow, like I learned all this stuff and here I am. And, you know, it's never a straight line. You know, I meet with some of these young people that are in college and they want, you know, like career advice, and they have in their heads, they're going to have this straight line up to wherever they think they should be going. And I'm like, no, it's this little, you know, tangled line of like, you know, little this here, that there, crisscrossing the globe in a way that you never anticipated. Right. And so if you would have told me when I was younger that I would end up in Washington working for President Clinton, I would have, and then end up in the White House as his senior advisor on women, was, you know, starting off, I was selling insurance in Los Angeles, specializing in women, both business owners, and that would lead me to that, you know, so you just never know where it's going to lead you. But I would say to people, take risks and dream big. Dream big. And you know,
that's a very strong message, I think. But the other strong message that's coming out of this conversation that for me kind of gives hope is it's messy, and that's okay. There is nowhere where anybody is having it perfect. And I think for more of these leadership lessons, because we could sit here and have a chat with Betsy for the whole evening, but she has to go somewhere and you have to go somewhere as a listener, but take the lead and motivate, inspire, and bring out the best in yourself and everyone around you is the book that you can check out. Do you have another one coming out anytime soon?
I'm working on two projects right now. One, a documentary about girl dads. So men who are emotionally connected and engaged and consistent with their daughters, and that how that beautiful parenthood creates girls that are confident and worthy, and I call it the girl dad advantage. And the second project I'm working on, which will be a book, is on women and worthiness. And I have this concept of I call it the worthy meter. And so the thinking is that act as if. So when we make decisions about choosing worthy behaviors, so more on that. But those are the two things that I am working on.
Sounds fascinating. Yeah. She's an advocate for women, entrepreneur, scholar, consultant, leadership advisor, amongst many things. And that is our conversation with Betsy Myers. We ran so much out of time, but Betsy, I always close this show with a song. But I never let people get away without a song. It doesn't matter how late we are. We'd rather move than use, right? Hope is important. What song could we close the show with that inspires you or is your favorite song? It doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is I would say my favorite song. Well, I don't know why this comes to my head, but it's such an old song, Lionel Richie on Endless Love. Have you heard that song, Endless Love?
Yeah. Yes. And it's very much in line with what you're saying, right? What the world needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Betsy, thank you so much for your time, your energy, your contribution to the world of leadership and everything that you are doing to bring, tapping into yourself to bring, because I think that's the difference. I think the more I speak to everyone, I realize what is the difference is going back within. And go like, why am I here? Why there's 8 billion people on earth, 7.85 if you want to be specific, but why am I there? Why did I make it? And you went and you tapped into that and look at where you are.
Yeah, that is such a, that's a great way to end the show. And I think, and thank you for the work you're doing to put these voices out into the world, because yeah, I think that's the question we all have to ask ourselves, right? Which is, what's the gift that I'm leaving in the world? What's the reason I'm here? And even if it's that I helped one child, or I, you know, whatever it is that we do, it doesn't have to be, we always have this idea, well, if I'm not creating a big organization like Paul Farmer, right? And Doctors Without Borders, then, which is such a loss to the world, losing him. But like, it can be little things. It can be helping your neighbor. You know, one of the things, I just leave you with this. This is a very small thing, but I have two dogs, and my neighbor has a dog, and they have two little babies. And so I pick this dog up all the time and take him on walks with my other dogs. And it's a small thing that I do, but I have fallen in love with this dog. And so he's now part, his name's Rascal, and he's part of my little posse of dogs. And it's just one thing that I do that's, you know, that I go to their house, I pick him up. I try to go like 5 times a week. They have other, you know, they try the best they can, but it's my little gift that I do to this family and to this dog, right? And so where do we see in our neighborhood where people are struggling, where just a little bit of a hand, you know, or seeing someone that's sad, bring them a cake, or see if they their child needs a care, or their dog needs a walk, or they just need a coffee with you to say, hey, I'm checking in with you. That's as important too, right? So what are the gifts that you're giving every day? And if all of us said we're gonna do every day one thing to lift somebody's spirit, just one thing, just think of what a better world we'd have.
That sounds like a challenge right there.
Yes.
But is that one thing?
One thing. Could be calling your mother, right? Yeah. Could be calling your mother and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. I love you. Just so you know, right? It could be sending a text to someone saying, I'm thinking about you. You know, it doesn't have to be huge things, right?
Yeah. Advocate for women, entrepreneur, scholar, leadership consultant, and many things. In between, that was our conversation there with Betsy Myers, and we're wrapping up. And for everyone that's listening at home, I want you to continue to remember that hope is the seed of data in our heads that tells us it will be all right if we nurture it. I hope to see you again in the new week as we do the Hope Makers show. And thank you to Westmead International and the Hope Makers for making this show possible. See you again next week. Here is Endless Love.
Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
VUCA Online.